Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge introduces incredible stories shared by women across the globe who have experienced the great heights of success and, at times, the agony of defeat. With a vision to impart wisdom and advice on how to tackle barriers and soar to new heights, the show uncovers different perspectives to help you find your inner strength and to power up your own voice so you can excel in life.
Welcome to Women Worldwide. I'm your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. I've been interviewing and highlighting the journey of amazing women, from neuroscientists to movie executives, who share their adventures and give great advice along the way. Today's show is a little bit different. I've asked a past guest, colleague, and friend, Nicole Rodriguez, to join me as my guest co-host. This is episode number 3. Of our 3-part co-hosted series. So as you may recall, Nicole is the founder and CEO of NRPR Group in Beverly Hills. She's an entrepreneur and a very tech-savvy entertainment publicist. Her extensive knowledge in bridging the gap between technology and entertainment industries has allowed her to work with clients including Sony Pictures, Entertainment, Dolby, Yahoo, Sony PlayStation, Hulu, and MGo. On the last show, Nicole and I discussed women and executive presence, or what we call EP, from the boardroom all the way to the presidential debates. We shared our advice and answered some frequently asked questions. And today we're going to use the same Q&A format, answering questions about women and public relations, the best ways to build your professional brand and promote yourself or your business. So with that, Nicole, it's great to have you back on my show. Welcome.
Oh, well, Deirdre, it's great to be back. So thank you very much for having me. And as always, thank you so much for the kind introduction.
Oh, well, thank you. And we have so much to talk about when it comes to public relations. Everybody wants PR, right? But not many understand it. So, Nicole, what do you think should be the first question when it comes to starting a PR program?
Oh, my favorite. Goodness, yeah. So I think that's why it's very important to understand PR and what it's designed for out the gate, right? As you mentioned, many don't understand it, and I think I've spent about 15-plus years trying to explain it. But many marketers and executives who are tasked with hiring PR executives have a false sense of what PR is, and that's not good for anyone. In a nutshell, the way I explain it is PR is really meant to build trust between a company, brand, or person and their audience with the use of media relations. The key word being relations, as in relationships. We help companies, brands, people, celebrities, whatever it is, create relationships with media who will then cover their stories so the public will understand who they are, what they stand for, what they do, what their products do, what their project is about. So the question that I would start with before I even consider a client is, what are you trying to achieve with your PR program? Because that will help me know the level of their knowledge of what I do or what I can do. And I would also ask, how much time are you willing to invest in building relationships with media who can help you achieve those goals? Now, every company or brand or person is different. We do things to help those relationships get built quickly and solidly. But again, depending on how crowded your competitive space is or your landscape is going to determine how hard you need to work to stand out amongst that crowd. So you need to be really clear on what your business goals and objectives are before hiring a PR pro to come in and do the job. The other thing to keep in mind is that the PR profession, as you know, is evolving, and it includes so much more than just media relations when you're thinking about planning. So this year, I started changing my title. I consider myself a positioning agent. You know, many celebrities have their booking agent. They have their manager. Well, I'm the positioning agent. I'm the CPO, chief positioning officer for my clients.
Oh, I love it.
So, of course, these are terms that I've kind of made up, you know, in this changing world of PR, because in order to get my job done right, I really have to be strategic about the tools, obviously the media being the core, but the other tools I use to tell a company's story, and that includes digital marketing nowadays and social media tools. So, I hope all of that makes sense, but Deidre, how would you answer that question?
Well, first of all, you nailed so many important points, and I love the CPO. So, you know, I call myself, I guess I'm a chief relationship agent.
I like so it.
Thank
like
you.
It.
We're definitely on the same page. But what I find, which is particularly interesting, is that, as I said before, everybody wants PR, but it is that why? What are you trying to achieve, like you stated? And really, you know, are you raising awareness? Are you trying to shift an opinion? Or do you need to change your image? Or are you looking for the media exposure that you mentioned? And really getting specific so that your expectations are realistic. You can set as many goals and objectives as you like, but if it's not realistic, if you can't do it in a timely fashion, if you don't have the resources in place, all of this play a very big part of your program. And that right from the get-go is almost you're signing yourself up for failure if you don't think about these things. And another thing I see is a lot of you know, companies and professionals tend to want to skip a very important part, which is understanding the landscape, where you're going to communicate and to who, and how you're going to fit into their world. So just knowing the marketplace and the attitudes that are already out there and doing your homework and research is so important. So that's kind of my take, but Nicole, I think you really nailed it with the whole goals and objectives and what are you trying to achieve. But I have another question for you. So how important is building your personal brand or your professional brand if you have a PR program for your business? So one is running for your business. Does it matter about your own professional brand?
Oh, absolutely. That's a great question. So whether you're the CEO of a company nowadays or whether you're a celebrity, building your personal brand is extremely important. Look at Richard Branson. He is a rock star businessman. Virgin Atlantic, Virgin America, Virgin Records. He's the heart and soul of all of it. And his personal brand is out there. He is his biggest cheerleader, as it should be. And it's visible for everyone to see. It makes him trustworthy. It makes people get behind him and his multiple brands. I mean, something as crazy as I have a rocket ship that's going to go into space. You know what? I trust Richard Branson so much. I'm not sure if eventually I'll get on one of those. But you know what? I know he's doing his due diligence in building a solid company to make that happen and make that real in the future, right? So it makes him trustworthy. I have no clue who the CEO of any other airline is. I'll tell you, I fly Virgin the most. So I trust the core values of the chief executive, and many CEOs and executives need to ditch their shyness and their egos in many cases.
Yeah, good point. Personal brand
through media and social media, right? They really, really play together. And that goes for other executives as well. You know, a lot of the times it's the CMO who's also the voice of the company, or the CTO if you're a tech company. And many of them are like, well, why are people going to care? Nah, I don't really care to build my personal brand. Again, media nowadays are judged by how many people will read their stories. Those numbers are visible online. If you don't have a way to help share a story about what they're covering, they will consider that, and they will consider someone else oftentimes, because if you don't know how to build your personal brand, there's less trust there.
So, exactly. Yeah. I would definitely, the whole personal brand, you know, first of all, when it comes to companies, it's about the people, and people want to trust people. So you have to kind of dig into who's there and why would we follow these people. So yes, it's not just the CEO. It could be any, you know, C-level, CMO, CTO, right down into who they're dealing with at the company. So the personal branding, everything falls in line behind that. I often say that, you know, this is what you stand for, and people believe, if they believe in you, then they're going to believe in what you recommend. They will follow you to great lengths, just like you said about Richard Branson. That's really true. And I also noticed that when it comes to your personal brand, you can't be one way online and in your social media, in your communities, and then be another way in person. So that brand has to be consistent at every single touch point. And that's really how you're going to build relationships. And also, it helps you when issues arise. So that's my take on that.
Oh, I agree. That's such a key point. You absolutely have to be consistent. You can't, you know, be an executive. And I say this to, you know, there are many millennials starting new companies, right? So you can't have all those pictures of you at Burning Man and all of these crazy love festivals and all these other things, and then, you know, this really solid CEO on the other hand who's like, well, I really want Forbes to interview me in Fortune and Entrepreneur. I mean, these things get found online. You need to be consistent. If you're just going to be that person, even if it's a little bit, you know, crazy and out there, then be that way across the board so that people understand your brand. So that's my take on that. But no, really, really great point. So I guess another frequently asked question, I think, in the minds of many and many of my clients, you know, well, what are the first steps to really good promotion? You know, Nicole, I don't know exactly where to go and where to start. So what do you need to have in place before you even start your PR outreach?
Well, I would recommend starting with a plan, and that goes far beyond writing a few things on a napkin. Although that was definitely the way that many of the internet executives did it back in the late 90s and early 2000. But it's just to research your market, know your audience, you know, understand what messaging will be the most effective to create action and impact, and what channels you're going to use. There's a lot of, you have to step back to answer a lot of questions and build your plan and know how are we going to actually measure what it is that we set out to achieve. I think a lot of companies, Nicole, want to get out there so quickly. They want to skip steps, jump into the tactical approach. Let's create some content. Let's share it with the media or through our social networks. But you always have to ask why, and a plan will help you to get there.
I agree. You know, well, going into sort of, you know, my take, solid messaging and objectives on top of having a great plan, because how else are you going to tell a story or pitch media who are going to tell a story without knowing, one, what your end goals are? And I think we talked about that earlier, like, what are your goals and objectives? And then how do you want people to perceive your company or your brand, your project, whatever you're doing? The only way to really be able to tell that is for everyone from your CPO to the executives, to the media, and even through social media. What is the message? And what are three key messages that you want out there so that none of the other things get diluted because people get lost in what it is you're really trying to do? The message and messages have to be solid so that you can point those back to objectives and say, yes, we reach those because people understood what we're trying to do.
All really great points. I'm talking with my guest co-host, Nicole Rodriguez, founder and CEO of NR PR Group. In the next segment, Nicole and I will be sharing the answers to more frequently asked questions about jumpstarting your PR program.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Segment 2 is coming right up.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communications and innovative technology. Pure Performance Communications works with businesses to move their audiences from interest to action, giving you a roadmap that fosters deeper engagement and forges stronger relationships along the way. Visit us at pureperformance.com. Thank you.
Now, back to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge.
I'm Deirdre Breckenridge, host of Women Worldwide. Welcome back to the show, where Nicole Rodriguez, my guest co-host, and I were just chatting about how to start a great PR program. Okay, Nicole, so we've covered a lot of ground about what is PR and what do you need to do to start, what are your first steps. Let's talk a little bit about creativity versus research process and measurement. Where should you focus your efforts the most?
Excellent question. Strategy is the name of the game, right? So I would say research is the most important. You got to do your homework before you can even really be inspired to be creative, right? So you do your research, you look at the market, you see where there are gaps and holes, both in messaging and all of the other places, right? Really depends on, again, whether you're representing a product, a project, an event, whatever it is. So research inspires the creativity and helps you build out your process. So
yep.
Measurement, of course, comes after. And measurement, in many cases, unfortunately, is only looked at from a data standpoint. And the testing with PR is that's just so wrong. I get it. You have to look at the bottom line. But how do you measure a strong relationship with an outlet who sometimes can only cover you but once a month, max? And if you're the Wall Street Journal, unless you're Google, and that took them a while to get, right?
Right.
Unless your beat is Google and you can literally write about them every day, how do you measure the fact that the Wall Street Journal has a good relationship with you, but that they can really only cover you once a month because these are the rules that they have to follow? So this is the hard thing about all of that. You can have a really great strategy in place because you've done the research, super creative because you're inspired, and the process is nailed. But again, how do you measure the weight of a lunch meeting with a journalist from CNBC who just needs a little bit more before he can write? That meeting in and of itself is progress towards something, an end goal. And of course, the number of media hits is something, right? So at the end of a campaign, hey, we had 39 or 40 hits, right? And oftentimes, it's really sad when an executive overlooks the smaller media outlets who cover their space. Oh, they're trade. They have to cover us. Not necessarily. Those little guys are important because the little guys are sometimes what the big guys do their research. And it validates you and what you're doing. So although their audience might be smaller, oftentimes it's more targeted. So I can go on and on about measurement and some frustrations that I've seen over the years. I'm sure you could do the same. But I say that if you have a PR program in place, and you've done everything to start to build it, to make it great, and it's creative, and all of that stuff, and you now are in a place where you're getting coverage regularly every month and building towards bigger goals, it's working. Do not stop.
good advice. I think I weigh more on the research process and measurement side. And with the measurement, it's always been that intangible, but now I think we can make it more tangible with our data points. But also, one thing that, you know, we've always done, because it is so much about the message, you can look at your exposure, and that's why even those little hits, we'll call them, that coverage is so important, because you know, when you're getting your message across, when you can look to see that those three important key messages made it into your article or whatever piece it was that came out, how are you positioned? That you can look at as a win, as a part of your measurement program. And, you know, also today in public relations, we do a lot of driving of traffic with our activities. So we can see that if you have an outreach program, you know, a media relations program, you can tell right now when people are, you know, looking and engaged in something on a publication site, they go over to your website. And you can see how the traffic flows. You can get that through your Google Analytics and then see what they do from there. Are they downloading more information about your company? Are they staying on your website? Are you engaging them further, or are they ordering a product? So I think that's where social media and technology has definitely helped. One thing that, you know, I shy away from is just creativity for the sake of creativity. And so many times, you know, you'll be in a brainstorming meeting and people have these great ideas, but you can't measure it, or it doesn't really make sense with the strategy, and it's not going to really benefit your program or help you to reach your goals. So I think you have to have both. I think creativity is super important, but make sure you can always measure it. Otherwise, you know, you're not going to be able to show your great work.
Oh, my gosh, I agree. And how many marketing people that, you know, or people that I've worked with that have these crazy creative ideas that are awesome and really expensive. And then you look at them and you're like, that's great and all fun, but what exactly is that supposed to do?
Exactly. How is that helping us?
What? Okay.
Yeah, you have to justify that. Justify the spend.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. That's awesome. No, I think that I can think back and probably go forever about that. But, you know, so my question to you then, good segue into it, what's the toughest part of being in public relations?
Well, I mean, I guess I could point out issues and crisis, but sometimes I actually thrive for that little bit of stress there. So, you know, I in general, I would say rejection. I think that public relations professionals, you really have to have a tough skin and be ready and prepared for rejection, because, you know, whether it's a pitch meeting that you don't win, you know, for new business, or pitches that get shut down within seconds by the media, whatever stress you're dealing with in a situation, you know, you have a lot of flaring tempers sometimes, or executive temperament when people are under pressure. They're not always pleasant. So you might get the brunt of whatever is going on, and that rejection is hard to take. So you just have to remember that it's not about you. It's not personal. It's business. You can't take anything personally. Kind of put your shield of armor on, and then at the end of the day, you can kind of take it off and still be really happy.
Yeah. Awesome.
What do you think?
Oh, gosh, you know what? To be honest, I think other than the fact that people don't quite know what we do all the time or what we're supposed to do, you know, I think a challenge, again, is really understanding, you know, or helping the people that you work with understand what PR is and how long it can take to really get to where you want to be. So, again, you're playing with egos and expectations, just like a regular relationship. Everyone wants to cover a Forbes and GQ right away without knowing what the heck the media wants, right? And many of the time, clients, or if you're working in-house, you know, your CMO or CEO, they don't even read the publications they want to be featured in. They just see the title of something that they've read before, right? And they're like, hey, I want to be covered by them. And it takes time to build a name for yourself, to get into Forbes, or to be listed as someone that they'll even pay attention to. And in many cases, you know, before many of these outlets will even consider thinking about who you are, they want to know how successful you are, and that measurement is changed. I had a client come to me and said, hey, I just raised $500,000 for my new consumer product company. I want you to pitch my news to Forbes. And I looked at him like, you've got to be kidding me, right? $500,000? People sneeze $500,000 nowadays, and your new company's in San Francisco, the core of the tech world, and you're building a consumer product company? Right. Okay. So Forbes won't even look at you. Nowadays, the new criteria is how many billions are you making? How many millions are you raising with your first round? Not congratulations, you've raised $500,000 and you're going to start a consumer product company. Call me in a couple of years when that consumer product company is making millions, changing the world. It's socially responsible. They look at all of these things. You know, I think that's really part of a frustration that I have. One of the hardest things that I deal with is unrealistic expectations and people who really just don't understand the media that they even want covering them.
That is definitely a tough challenge. And it takes a while for people to understand. Okay, I have one last question for you. What do you think are the characteristics of a really good PR counselor or a PR publicist?
That is an awesome question. I have to say that someone who is not only strategic, right, who knows how to look at the big picture and map basically strategy to objectives, but someone who is also going to give it to you straight and work with you, work well under pressure, and will not stop or sleep until that job is done. You know, I look at so many people who are like, well, I think I want to get into PR because it looks like a lot of fun and parties. And I'm just like staring at them with this blank stare like, you are really, really in for it, I'll tell you. Because it takes so much to really do a solid, good job and to be a respectful and trustworthy chief positioning officer. Really have to understand how to be strategic for a company and tell your client no when they're like, I need you to pitch Forbes. No, you've raised $500,000. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. And we're going to go ahead and we're going to do this because we're going to build for you. And I'll show you all of the links to Forbes articles that you clearly haven't read that you need to read to help justify why I'm telling you no, but really help me help you. So someone who is strong enough to basically say, this is how we can get you there. You got to trust me and I won't sleep till I get it done.
I love it. I won't sleep until I get it done. That is definitely the right attitude. And yes, you cannot tell executives or your clients what they want to hear. You know, good counselor tells it like it is. And you know what? You can only get, so as a consultant, I am going to bring the good, the bad, and sometimes the ugly. I will always tell you, you know, if you approach something this way, here are the consequences. Every client will make a choice, but you definitely have to know what it is and let them know what they're up against. And for every client, it's important to understand that they're all different. There is no cookie cutter approach. Although, you know, we build relationships with, you know, media outlets or within your community or with whomever. We do have great relationships. It's still understanding their industry, their landscape, so that you can be able to really guide them and make those good, effective recommendations that are going to help them reach their goals. So, Nicole, this has all been so insightful. You know, can't thank you enough for participating as my co-host today and for sharing all of your thoughts and experiences and excellent advice about public relations and getting started.
Yeah, as always, it's my pleasure. Anytime. I think the world of you, and I love chatting with you, and I just, you know, your energy is great, and you're super, super smart, so I love it, and I'm glad to help, and I hope that our conversation really does shed some light and help a lot of people understand, you know, the beauty of what we do and just how difficult it can be sometimes.
Oh, well said. The beauty of what we do. I love it. Well, thank you again, and I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in to Women Worldwide. I'm your host, Deirdre Breckenridge, and until we meet again for the next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge, brought to you by Pure Performance Communications on thesocialnetworkstation.com. You can reach Pure Performance at www.pureperformancecom.com. Women Worldwide is produced by SNI, and the opinions of the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of Social Network Intermedia, LLC, or The Social Network Station.